Hi, I'm Kathy Forstein, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Today it's a great pleasure to speak with Kansas City artist Dave Panico. Dave is known to his fans as the Soaring Saxman and has been a favorite among smooth jazz enthusiasts in the Kansas City area for many years. Dave has also been a favorite with KC Cafe Radio listeners for the last several years as well. This past year, Dave was named the Instrumentalist of the Year at the 2015 King Cat Music Awards, and he has a new CD called Tasty Treat that we've been playing tracks from for the last several months. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today on KC Cafe Radio.
My pleasure. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I was looking over your bio, and I noticed that we have something in common. We both grew up listening to our parents' 78 records.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
The great classics. The whole big band series. I really had a love for the Benny Goodman, the Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey. I think that's kind of where the roots of the jazz influence came on, that swing era.
Mm-hmm. And Benny Goodman, too, because you started out as a clarinet player.
I started clarinet when I was in about third grade, when they were coming around to the schools. Actually, my heart was set on playing trumpet, but then a lot of my friends were playing clarinet, so then I kind of switched at the last minute to clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of started that, and then my dad had a huge album collection, and he pulled out some Benny Goodman, Pete Fountain, and then he had some other Dixieland-type jazz and some of the big band stuff. I was like, well, this is cool clarinet stuff. So I started gravitating more towards that than the classical stuff, but I still had to study the classical stuff for school. But then in high school, the teacher knew that, you got a great jazz influence in the clarinet. We got to get you to saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
So he put me on baritone sax in high school, and then later I acquired an alto sax from my mom's cousin or something. So that's kind of how I got started playing the saxophone.
So you were listening to these 78 records. What was it that you think that in the music that made you want to play that music? Because apparently, music that was on the radio at that time was very different from...
Oh, I still listen to the heavy metal and the rock and roll. I listen to a wide variety during the era, but I just gravitated toward that swing. It was exciting, the solos. When you listen to some of the solos and the big band and the jazz, how exciting it was, how it intertwined together. It just inspired me. It's like, this is cool. But then again, I was a rocker. I loved listening to heavy metal during that time period too. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so was this in Kansas City? Were you growing up in Kansas City?
I grew up in Chicago, actually.
Uh-huh.
So we lived in the city for about 8 years, and then we moved out to the suburbs of Chicago, where I went to school, got involved with Willow Creek Community Church, playing jazz with their orchestra band. And then I got a job offer out in Kansas City.
Okay. So that's how you got out here, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were looking to get out of the Chicago area. It was time to leave.
Uh-huh.
So Kansas City made us an offer.
Yeah. I still have family out in Chicago as well. So my dad lived in Chicago for a long time, and my parents met up in Michigan, so... So Chicago has always had a great music scene and a lot of influential musicians have come from Chicago as well as Kansas City. But it's ironic that you go to Kansas City where there's a big jazz scene, or sort of the birth of jazz kind of happened here, So that's
cool. I mean, it's just kind of, it was more of a God thing. It's like I was looking at several different areas and I just faxed the resume out to one place and they just said, hey, you're hired. It's like, whoa, it was really quick.
That's divine intervention right there.
I would say so, yeah.
So you switched to sax when you were a teenager and
still play clarinet and sax. I mean, actually, saxophone was much easier than clarinet, so it was an easy switch. So I still kept up clarinet playing through high school, wind ensemble, and then I did the saxophone in the jazz band.
So when did you pick up the flute?
Flute was, I'm trying to remember, my sister, Donna, she played flute in high school. And then after high school, she just stopped playing. And I asked her, you still got that flute? And I goes, sure. So I'll take it. So then I think it was after I graduated high school, after she graduated. So sometime in my college or after college, I just grabbed it from her. She gave it to me. She said it was okay. And then I just started playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take much effort to learn it. It took a little bit, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And were your parents musical too, or were they just big music?
They loved listening to music. My dad played guitar. He took some lessons or hung around with some guys when he was younger on guitar. He enjoyed doing that. He didn't take it seriously, but he enjoyed it when he played it from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved listening to music. my dad always loved listening to music.
Yeah. Did they like all different styles of music, or were they mostly into swing and jazz?
My dad listened to everything. He listened to anything from, you know, the jazz stuff all the way to Led Zeppelin and everything in between.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That your parents sound very similar to my parents, because that's why my mom and dad both were. We listened to everything from, you know, those 78 records, you know, the swing era to Hank Williams, to rock music, you know.
Right. So my dad was a big Tom Jones. He loved Tom Jones, Frank Sinatra, and then then there was Three Dog Night, mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that having parents that support that sort of diversity in your musical style kind of helps you in life, you know.
Oh, sure.
So you said you played in jazz band in high school, and you played in the orchestra and stuff. What was your first band outside of, like, school, the parochial thing?
When I got out of school, I played with various different rock bands from time to time, and then I did get locked into a reggae band for about 2 or 3 years around the Chicago area, and we did a lot of cool gigs. It was a different culture, you know, playing that reggae. I really enjoyed the rhythms, the vibe of the music. Yeah, it was a really cool scene. I would sit in with other bands too, with different rock and roll bands from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool thing about the saxophone, is it's very portable, and you can go around and just join in with people, and that's very cool. So how did you get the name, the Soaring Saxman?
Well, when I came to Kansas City, I think that's kind of really when the more of the solo career kind of started. I started taking it more seriously, got locked in the churches, and then they started having me do more solos and preludes. I go, okay. And then after doing that a lot, somebody from the church kind of said, you know, you really need to start, you need to record a CD. So that's kind of when I started on my first CD, Soar. And it all comes down to, I was thinking, what would be a good kind of a, I don't know if it's a theme, motto, or something, but it came out of Isaiah, where it says, you will renew your strength and you will soar on the wings of eagles. So I thought, soaring, because I love the idea of soaring or flying, mm-hmm. what it would be like to just kind of, you know, how life burdens us with and weighs us down and pushes us down. But if we had a moment where we could just have all that lifted from us, how light we would feel, how much ease and how much freedom we would feel from that.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And speaking of the Bible and that, how did you decide to make your music into Christian jazz? Is it just an extension of who you are as a person?
Yeah, I would say so. I spent 10 years at Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area, which was a great ministry. We had a great jazz band. It was a great group. I loved that church. I loved serving there. Some very talentedly creative people there that were just, and it was always such a great atmosphere to be around and part of. Like if I had a bad day, you know, a bad week at work, I'd come to this church and serve. It was just like, yeah, it was like a retreat for me in some ways. It was a great time. So there was a lot of good music, and also the Christian aspect of, you know, God's given us abilities and skills, and it doesn't matter what it is, but we can still use that for his glory, and he can use that in ways that we can never imagine. Mm-hmm. So with that, when I came to Kansas City, I got locked into the churches, found a good church, started playing, and then I did a CD. My first CD, Soar, is more Christian-oriented music, and that opened doors in various churches. It's always a great opportunity when I have a chance to minister and do the music at the same time. So. Mm-hmm. I just committed to him and have him open doors, because ultimately it's not about what we do for ourselves. It's what we do with what we have for God and for others.
Right. You play churches as well as just regular
I
places?
I play all various venues. I mean, I do the bar scene. I played a dentist office actually one time.
That was really?
There was a surprise birthday party for a dentist. Somebody called me to do a gig for the dentist. I do churches. You know, I go wherever the door opens, so.
Yeah, you never turn down a gig, right? Or very rarely turn down a gig.
I mean,
yeah.
Not usually.
And you were saying, too, that you've recently done a couple of benefits as well.
Yes. Recently, I did a benefit out at Arrowhead Stadium. That's where the Chiefs play, for a big fundraiser for battered women.
Mm-hmm.
So I do some of those, and domestic violence.
That's
do some
great.
Of those fundraisers, yeah.
That's wonderful. since you're an instrumentalist and there's not really lyrics, a lot of times with Christian music, it's the lyrics that
right.
that make it different than regular.
It is. It's more of a challenge, but in some ways, the music can speak where the spoken word can't.
Mm-hmm.
As I introduce a song, I might say, this is, when I wrote this song, this is what I was going through. This is what I'm trying to convey through this music. And I've had times where people just said, you know, that just really reached down to the core of my soul. So let me go with that. So God is working.
Right. And I know there's been a couple of Christian instrumentalists. The names are, I know there's a trumpeter that was very famous there for a while. I can't remember his name now.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, so it's very common to have, you know, just Christian instrumentalists. So, I mean, that's very cool that you're doing
that. Yeah, one of the big Christian saxophone players is Kirk Whalum. I've had the chance to meet him on several occasions. Really great guy, has a great heart towards God, and he's an amazing saxophone player at the same time, which he does churches and a lot of, you know, he's like one of the top saxophone players in the secular world, too. So
yeah, he's great. Do you remember the first song that you ever wrote? How old were you when you wrote it?
I wrote a lot of songs that probably never made it to CD where I toyed around, but I think the first song I wrote when... was probably on my second CD. I think, let's see, I can't, which one was that, the first one I wrote? Could have been Joyriding. I mean, all the songs on my second CD were written by me, so that was pretty cool. On the first CD, there's Moving On, that was kind of written, the keyboard player gave me a vibe, and I kind of wrote melodies over that. But yeah, Joyriding's all written, and Tasty Treat, most of the songs written by me as well. But I have a lot of songs I've written that probably never made it to CD, that did not make it to CD.
Yeah, and how old were you when you wrote your first one?
Let's see, probably when I was, probably when I was like out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's not true. Probably when I was like in college, I wrote some songs down, instrumental stuff down.
Mm-hmm. And so do you chart your stuff out, or how do you...
Well, I kind of do a scribble on paper, my own note hand, my freehand. I just do my own scribbles. And then what I do is I have music software where if I'm going to actually put it on a CD, then I get it into I got like a Finale version. It's called Print Music. I put it in there. It plays it back, make sure the rhythms are accurate. Then I send that out to a producer or someone to chart it out for me and arrange it.
And what instrument do you write on, typically?
If I'm writing a song for the alto sax, I work on the alto sax. If I want a song on a flute or native flute or soprano sax, I work on those specific instruments. A lot of times the songs just come from, I'll sit in my practice room and probably have a recording device on. I'll just start doodling around, just start playing a bunch of stuff. And then if I hit a cool lick, it goes, I like that idea. And that's the kind of the start of the song.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned the native flute. When did you start playing that?
When did I do that? That was probably about when I was in Kansas City, probably several years ago. I just said, you know, I had a thing for having a native flute. So I did some research, and I picked up a flute off a Cherokee reservation. It was online.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with the sound. The lady I talked with and dealt with, she was really cool, very nice, very helpful. And I used it on a couple songs. On my first CD, it's the intro to I Can Sing of Your Love.
Mm-hmm.
And on Joyriding, it was used on Perseverance, which is a really cool song. And on Tasty Treat, it's used in on Freedom Dance. I also have used it on other people's recordings when they ask me, I like that sound. I want to have that on my CD on one song.
And so how did you learn to play that?
It's actually a very simple instrument. It came, when I bought the instrument, it came with like an instruction book where you go online and get a fingering chart. It's not a chromatic instrument. It's very pentatonic, so it only has a limited number of notes. It doesn't have all the levers and mechanisms to give you a full chromatic octave. So it has a very limited number of notes on what can be played.
Uh-huh. And what key is it typically in, just out of my
own? Yeah, this one is in the key of F sharp, but they do make them in different keys.
Uh-huh.
So you only have about 8 or 9 notes that you can play on it.
Wow, and F sharp's a difficult key to play.
on this one, there's no levers or mechanism, so it's kind of more of its natural key. But yeah, and when you got the saxophone, yeah, it's just you got to get used to it. There's a lot of mechanisms and levers you got to remember what to play when you're in those different keys.
And so they're typically made out of wood, right?
Yeah, this one's made out of a white cedar wood. Yeah.
Wow, that's very cool. And so if it's cedar wood, it must smell good too.
Yeah, it does. It smells good. I get around, I tell people I'm pulling out a peace pipe right in church here.
So Tasty Treat is your third CD.
Yes, it is.
How would you say it's different from Joyriding?
Tasty Treat has a little bit more of a funk flavor to it, has a little more of a groove. Joyriding's a great CD. It's a little more laid back, a little more smooth, but it has some cool Latin stuff in there, some gospel stuff in there. Tasty Treat has a little more funk in it.
I would agree with that. And you actually have a song on there called Funky Monkey.
Yeah, Funky Monkey.
How did you come up with that kind of title?
Well, that was kind of like the producer kind of said, hey, we'll just call it Funky Monkey. I thought about it. He goes, yeah, that does sound pretty cool.
I like that title. So how do you come up with the names of your titles for your songs?
Well, I mean, like the first song on the CD, it's called Breaking Free. It just had that upbeat thing, and I thought, you know what? You know, a lot of times, life's burdens bear us down. We just feel like we're trapped, and we just got to get out of that somehow. So I just thought, you know, Breaking Free was a good one for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the blues. There's Tasty Treat, which is the jazz. That's the title track, Tasty mm-hmm. Treat, smooth. Then there's a soaring sax blues. There's a dance song called Pumpin', you know, kind of. You know, I don't, there's no mathematical or formulated approach when I come up with a song, but I know there's one song on there that I use for healing, and it's called Get Up and Walk. And I had this vibe, and I says, well, what could I call it? I don't want to call it healing or Easter healing. But then, you know, I think of the time Jesus went up to the paralytic, the cripple, and says, take your mat, get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called Get Up and Walk.
Yeah, that's great. And what about Wings of an Angel? That's another one that I like.
Yeah, that one, you know, that kind of goes with the whole soaring idea. I thought, what would it be like if you were able to ride on the back of Wings of an Angel? By the way, I think that'd be a great Pixar movie. Pixar should hear this and,
yeah.
And I'd do a movie on that. You know, it's almost like, you know, that movie on How to Train Your Dragon, when they were mm-hmm. right on the back of that dragon, how they were just flying through the sky, just free and easy. I thought it'd be, what if that, you know, just what would life be like that? You know, I thought mm-hmm. it'd be so cool to be on the wings of an angel.
Do you have a favorite track on the album?
Yeah, all of them are a favorite.
Yeah. It's hard to pick a favorite.
they're all great.
Yeah, because so. You spend time with them and you get to know them, and you know, I mean,
right.
I understand how that process is. So you said you really liked rock guitar growing up. Do you play guitar as well?
I fool around with it. I know a few chords on it. You know, I've learned a few things over the years. I could kind of do some things here and there. I got a pretty cool, I bought a drum machine, has some pretty cool guitar patches, so I can get some really cool feedback,
uh-huh.
some really cool stuff on it. I don't play it I wouldn't feel comfortable playing it in public, but I know some chords here and there.
So what do you use in your recordings then? Is that what you're using? Is the drum?
No, on the recordings, those are hired musicians. This Tasty Treat was, the producer was in Nashville. It was recorded in Nashville. He had live musicians to come into the studio. They lay down the tracks, and then I made two trips to Nashville to record the CD, to lay down my tracks.
How involved are you in the producing process? I mean, are you like standing there saying, try this lick?
In the producing process, the producer, who is Eric Copeland, he would send me something. I would say, yeah, I like this, I don't like this, try this. So we would go back and forth, kind of either through email or over the phone.
Everybody's process is different, you know.
Right.
A lot of people are there in the studio and they're very, I don't know, dictatorial, I guess, and telling people, do this, don't do that. And
yeah, well, he lays down the keyboard track, and I said, okay, I like the groove, and then, I mean, I was pleased with what when they brought in the musicians, I was pleased mm-hmm. with what they laid down.
Why did you decide to go in the direction of smooth jazz? What was your influence to go that way?
Well, mainstream jazz, I mean, I love mainstream jazz, but I don't think there's a huge enough market. But I tell you, it makes the best players. I would advise mm-hmm. any musician to study some mainstream jazz and mm-hmm. learn the art form of mainstream jazz, because it's it's a art form that you never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Smooth jazz, I always loved, like Spiral Gyra, Dave Koz, Warren Hill. Growing up, I just loved what they did with the saxophone. Listening to that, I love, yeah, that's cool. And then when I listened to the heavy metal rockers, the screaming guitars, you know, all the great guitarists over the years, I go, I used to play in heavy metal bands and go back and forth with those screaming guitars. That's why I like a sax that could scream, because I could scream just as nasty as they can. Mm-hmm. So I kind of bring in the jazz and the rock and some of the other different flavors of the Latin and the reggae into the music. So I don't like the music to get too cliche-ish.
Do you ever go out and play with a rock band?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Was it a couple of weeks, or it was last week, I played with a classic rock and roll band. We played at a Deer Creek golf course for a... We've done this for the last several years. It's a fun group. We do a lot of classic rock and roll from the 60s up to the 2000s. Uh-huh. It's a fun group to be a part of.
Yeah. And what's the name of the band?
It's called Copperhead Station.
So what are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm just working on gigs, promoting the CD. It's festival season, so I've been making a lot of contacts for the next year's festivals. I think I'm going to kind of back off on CDs for right now on music.
Well, we're glad that you're on KC Cafe Radio.
I am too. This is great. I appreciate
playing your stuff. And I want to make sure people know that your website is called www.soaringsaxman.com. So if you want to see and hear more about Dave and his music, you can go there. And your music is available at?
You can get it at SoaringSaxMan.com. There's links. I'm on iTunes, CD Baby, Indie Heaven. You could Google my name and you'll find it.
Yeah. So that his name is Panico.
Correct.
And it's SoaringSaxman.com is his website. So that's where you can find Dave. And if you go to CD Baby, it's right there. Plus, you can get both your other two CDs there as well.
That's right.
You have kids. Do your kids play music as well?
They do. I have three kids. My oldest son, Henry, he's a senior in college. He studied piano for a long time, and on his own, he got into a lot of the video game music, the Mario.
Mm.
I don't know if he plays too much anymore, but he plays once in a while. He loves the Japanese, that music they do for mm-hmm. video games. He showed me some concerts that he downloaded or they were online that were amazing. Even though they were spoken in Japanese, I thought the whole production orchestration was just, wow, amazing. My daughter, she's in high school, and she's very creatively. She plays violin. She studied piano. She's doing dance, voices. She's doing real well with voices, so she's very active. And my youngest son, he's studying piano as well.
So would you want them to become professional musicians as well?
They choose to. If God directs their paths, I'm all for it, yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's like with you, your parents weren't really that musical. They love music, but now you can hand down your experience as a musician to your kids, and they can kind of watch that. Do they come to your shows? And
sometimes they do, or they hear me practice so much, they're like, okay, we've heard it a million times.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But they've gone to some of my shows, or sometimes I drag them along. Hey, I need help selling CDs. Come along with me.
You always employ your kids. I always tell people my son is my roadie. So
yes, forced labor. Forced child labor here.
I want to ask you really quick about the King Cat Music Award. How did you get nominated for that? And tell people a little bit about the King Cat Music Award.
King Cat Music is a great organization here in Kansas City that supports musicians all over, not just Kansas City, but Midwest. And it's a great network of people. They get together all the time. They have events, outreaches. So it's a great family to be a part of. And they have the awards every year. It's a similar as the Grammy Awards, but only a much smaller ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And how I got nominated, I don't know. I was shocked. I was really shocked. It's not based on voting. It's based on, I don't know. It's based on, I think they get some music professionals who listen to the songs, and then they make the recommendations.
Yeah. That means more. I mean, because it's people, your peers, that are nominating you and voting you for these awards. It's not like a popularity contest, which I as far as music's concerned, I don't think it should be about who's the most popular. I think it should be about who's making the best music,
Yeah, I've never liked the political aspect, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. I'm just...
Yeah. I've never liked those shows like American Idol and that kind of stuff. I've never liked them because of that,
Yeah.
Because it's really not about talent. It's about who can sell, who can be sold the best. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me today.
Thank you, Kathy.
I want to remind everybody once again, his website is SoaringSaxman.com, and it's Dave Panico, Panico. And go look that up, and you'll hear some great smooth jazz music.
And Yeah, you'll love it. And if you need, I perform private parties, festivals, events, whatever your event needs, give me a call.
Yeah, and you can contact him there at the website. So,
and there are reviews on my website as well of what people have said about events and private parties we've played, and there are just absolutely incredible, favorable reviews. So I was really impressed with what people had to say.
Yeah, well, we're impressed with you too, and we're glad to have you on KC Cafe Radio and have your music playing. I know John is a huge fan of yours, our technical director, and he really loves your music.
Right.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything, and we'll look forward to hearing you on KC Cafe Radio.
Definitely. God bless.